Super Bowl 58 is just days away. We are going to see the Kansas City Chiefs face off against the San Francisco 49ers. Who is going to hoist that Lombardi trophy on Sunday? Welcome to the Fantasy Life Playoff Show. I am your host, Kendall Valenzuela. I have to introduce our Super Bowl crew, though, to you all. We've got Ian Harditz here, and we've got Matthew Friedman. Guys, Super Bowl 58, just a couple days away. Friedman, we talk about all your betting, and you have such great wisdom on what we're going to talk about for the Super Bowl and the bets. I just need to know, are we going to talk about some Gatorade props? You got Usher's first song. I mean, where are we going with this today?
Yeah, I don't have anything on Gatorade or Usher. That's not really in my lane. Maybe Ian will have some information on some of that. But I will say, just in terms of like wisdom, it's only one game. Don't get too drunk at the Super Bowl party. You can get a little drunk, not too drunk. And don't bet the entire bankroll. But otherwise, have fun.
Who are you, my dad, Friedman? Come on with this. And I will say this, everyone. I don't know about the Gatorade cooler or the Usher bets, but if you don't have a stopwatch out for that national anthem, betting on that over, you are not living. What better way to start the greatest Sunday of the year?
Thank you. Thank you, Ian. I knew someone here was going to be betting the Reba McEntire over under. I think it's set at 90.5 right now. So we can talk about that a little bit later, Friedman. I'll let you get your thoughts on that one. But I guess we should talk about this Super Bowl and the matchup. We'll get into the nitty gritty here, guys. The first one, Ian, I want to throw to you. You got us a lot of good topics to talk about for today. You know, and the first question is, will Kansas City or San Francisco go out of their way to establish the run? And kind of the thing about this is both defenses are really good against the pass, but there's something to be said against the run. So what are you thinking about for this matchup?
Yeah, I don't want to say that either defense is incapable of stopping the run, because this is something else we would see with, honestly, some of the best defenses in the entire NFL, the Ravens, the Cowboys, and these two units. The usual top overall defenses are also, you know, in the year 2024, especially good against the pass. But it really is alarming just how much of a run funnel these two teams have been specifically. We're talking about the Chiefs being the number three defense in EPA allowed per dropback, and the 49ers are fifth. That said, the Chiefs against the run ranked just 28th. And the 49ers all the way down there at 27. So really does seem like they're going to have some success on the ground. Now, again, I mentioned last week the Ravens were also in this category, and we saw that Isaiah Pacheco still couldn't quite get things going. But Friedman, again, as I look at this matchup and just try to hopefully get somewhat in the mind of Andy Reid, it does seem like testing Fred Warner and Nick Bosa and company with that run early and often could be in the fold. We did see teams like, you know, James Conner and the Cardinals have some decent success there. I know we've been talking about some prop bets for Pacheco that I do like the chances of going over.
Yeah, I know, you know, Christian McCaffrey is the clear running back in this game that really stands out, and it's easy to look at the matchup that he has. But Pacheco, as you mentioned, he's also got a pretty great matchup. And I'll just kind of say in passing, looking at DraftKings right now, you can have a head-to-head matchup of Pacheco versus McCaffrey in the rushing game, plus 23.5 rushing yards for Pacheco. I actually like that quite a bit, because if you look at what Pacheco has done in the playoffs, he's had 21 carries per game. Since the week 10 bye, he's had 8 games. Most of those have been without Jerick McKinnon. He's had 775 yards and 8 touchdowns on 144 carries, 27 targets. Like, I think we see a lot of Pacheco in this game. And that doesn't mean like we don't see, you know, a healthy dose of Travis Kelce, Rashee Rice. But I think Pacheco is really going to be the engine of this offense for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I kind of agree with both of you. I'm interested to see, because we can talk all day about what Brock Purdy's going to look like, what we're going to see from Patrick Mahomes, but I think one of the keys that we're going to continue breaking down is the Isaiah Pacheco problem and what the 49ers defense are going to do. They rank in the bottom 10 in just about every defensive efficiency metric against the run, so it'll be interesting to see how they go about that one. The next one, and Friedman, I want to talk to you about this first, who are some under-the-radar players? We already know about, you know, the Travis Kelce's, like I said, the Patrick Mahomes, all those guys, but do you have any under the radar players that you think could make an impact in this game?
You know, I'm going to go a little bit off of the radar on this one. And I want to highlight, not that I think he's actually going to have a great game, but I want to highlight the rookie backup strong safety for the 49ers. it's a little bit ridiculous. Jair Brown. And what I kind of like about highlighting him is that he is going to be the guy who really needs to take on Travis Kelce for a lot of this game. And if the Chiefs end up winning the Super Bowl, and I lean towards the Chiefs, if they win the Super Bowl, I think it means that Travis Kelce probably has a Travis Kelce type of game. We look at what Kelce has done in the playoffs, and I think it's, you know, not a coincidence that he rested in week 18. So, you know, he had basically a de facto bye week there in the playoffs. He's been awesome, 262 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns on 27 targets. Now he has basically, not basically, a full, he has a full bye week coming into this game. I think we see basically the best version of Kelce we are likely to see this season. You know, people can just obviously look on social media and be able to see what Kelce has done in the playoffs for his career. Like, that's something that is well established. But I actually like the matchup that he has this week going against the 49ers. They lost in week 11. They're starting strong safety, Talanoa Hufanga, who I think has kind of been underrated, like a big part of that defense, kind of like the backbone of that defense. Like, he's the muscle of the secondary. Since they've lost him, they've been really exploitable against number one tight ends. And the guys most comparable to Travis Kelce since they lost Hufanga, Trey McBride and Sam Laporta. McBride had 11 targets, 102 yards against them. Sam Laporta in the NFC Championship game had 13 targets, 97 yards. Like, there's a chance that Kelce could have like legitimately 15 targets in this game. And if Jair Brown is not on his game, if he is like not the best version of himself, he could get absolutely demolished by Travis Kelce. And that feels like the ball game. So I know it's like a really under the radar thing to talk about, like the starting or the backup strong safety at this point on the 49ers defense, but I feel like he is kind of low key one of the X factors in this game.
I was going to say, Ian, leave it to Matthew Friedman to give us, you know, we said under the radar and he really went under the radar. I don't think anyone has mentioned him, at least on SiriusXM all week, definitely not on this show, but I like the call out, Friedman. That's one to definitely watch. Ian, same question to you though, with an under the radar player, who you have for this game?
I got another guy who probably won't be touching the ball too often, but he does play offense. I'm talking 49ers wide receiver 3, Juwan Jennings. Honestly, watching this dude block has just been a pleasure, really, since he got to San Francisco 3 years ago. I know it took Brandon Ayuk a year or so to get going in that department before Shanahan fully trusted him, but my goodness, I remember Shanahan even saying when Juwan was, I think, a rookie or in his second year, how he plays like he's just blacked out there, just going absolutely crazy. And I mean that in like the nicest and best way possible on the football field. So what I think has been interesting though is in this playoff stretch, we've actually gotten, you know, the third and one phenomenon going, because the dude's been making big plays and big moments against the Packers when Debo Samuel had to leave that game due to injury early, ended up going 5 catches, 61 yards, many of them of the clutch variety. And then even last week or 2 weeks ago, guys, that one-handed catch he made after Purdy had the scramble drill, absolutely awesome stuff. So when I see things like shout out Tage Seth showing that actually Juwan Jennings has the highest success rate of any 49ers player against man coverage this season, hey, I start to wonder if we couldn't see a big moment or two in this game swung, especially against the Chiefs defense that does run man coverage at a top 5 rate out there. So again, you know, with the 49ers offense, maybe we'll get a few targets here and there to Jennings and Juszczyk. I fully realize it's going to be the CMC, Debo, and Ayuk show, but don't be surprised if while we see those guys doing their things, Juwan Jennings is making it work as a blocker. On the season, only Puka Nacua and Juwan Jennings had a PFF run blocking grade north of 80. Really fun to play and, you know, really fun to go watch do it.
There we go. Speaking of under the radar guys, this is kind of a question, Friedman, I just got to ask you, because I know, who was your Super Bowl MVP ticket earlier? No, it was just regular MVP, so that doesn't count for this one. But I want to ask you for Super Bowl MVP. Could any non-quarterback be winning this thing this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Christian McCaffrey feels like a very viable MVP candidate. And like, you don't even have to like squint too hard to see how it happens. That one feels like pretty straightforward. Travis Kelce, you'll talk about him a little bit later in the show, but you can see the path for him winning MVP, especially since 20% of the MVP vote is dictated by fans. You could have a lot of Swifties voting for Travis Kelce, especially if he has a big game. And if it's close, that might end up actually determining if he wins MVP or not. And then I will just say, this is the most disgusting thing that anyone will ever say on the show. Ian might not want to listen to it because it involves a kicker. But I will say,
oh my gosh,
I will say, okay, Super Bowl MVP, it's not going to happen, but Harrison Butker at like 300-1 odds, there's a little sliver of possibility there.
There isn't.
There actually is. I am not saying that I would actually bet this, but I'm just saying that if you look at like what the implied odds are, 300-1 odds is like 0.33% chance of happening. And I'm saying it's not low enough. 0.33. It's probably more like 0.5, you know, maybe 0.75. So I'm just saying it's not going to happen in our lifetimes, but it will happen at some point if the world still exists for 200 years, that at some point a kicker actually will win Super Bowl MVP. And at that point, people will be like, hey, you remember that guy that no one remembers? one time, 100 years ago, he said that this would happen.
I don't even have a good segue to you, Ian. I need to know. Okay, if that happens, Ian, what do you have to do? I think if that ever were to happen, do you write a poem to the kicker? You say sorry? I think like an ode to kickers maybe has to happen if a kicker does become MVP, especially this weekend.
I think I just leave the United States of America for good. I mean, what's the point of being in the greatest country in the world if we have a freaking kicker winning Super Bowl MVP? So that's idiotic, Friedman. I think if you play this game 300 plus times, that we're not going to see a single kicker win once, but I do think we could see one CMC do that. It is a quarterback-dominated award, but I was surprised to see in the history of the Super Bowl, only 56% of the MVPs have been quarterbacks. And then even just more recently, since 2000, it's only gone up to 58%. So it really isn't an award completely dominated by the signal caller. And I think, honestly, the fact that we've seen the lines be close enough between Purdy and CMC reflects that right now. But also, like, guys, I want to get both your takes on this. If we decided to crown MVPs in the divisional round in the NFC Championship game, you know, when Brock Purdy threw for 252 yards and one touchdown, then 267 yards and a touchdown, Lord knows how many interceptions were, you know, dropped along the way. CMC went for, you know, $128 and $132 with two touchdowns in each of those games. I think he would have been named the MVP in both those games if the media had to go ahead and go through that process. And now we're sitting here with a decent, you know, chunk of extra odds in his favor. So plus 475, I think Christian McCaffrey, you could argue, should be the favorite to get this award, especially given what we just talked about and how tough of a matchup this is going to be for the entire passing offense. I mean, Kendall, again, like if you had to pick an MVP from these last two games, wouldn't it be CMC?
Yeah, it probably would, honestly. And I'm curious because I'm with you. Sorry, not you, Friedman. I'm with Ian on the CMC. I know that Friedman's behind CMC as well. But to me, when you're telling that story and you say to yourself, okay, if I do believe that the San Francisco 49ers are going to win the Super Bowl, I think it's a better story to tell. Is it going to be Brock Purdy that's leading that, or is it going to be Christian McCaffrey? Because Friedman, do you have the stats in front of you? I mean, you're like a human calculator, so I'm sure you have it right away. When was, how many times in the last, 10 years, 5 years, non-quarterbacks won the MVP award in a Super Bowl?
Well, I'm not going to go to the non-quarterbacks, but I will say last time a running back won an MVP in the Super Bowl, that was like in the 90s, and that was Terrell Davis, who, like, another Shanahan back.
Yeah.
But like, I think you could see it happening. And like, to Ian's point about like McCaffrey should maybe be favored in this market, I don't know if I would go quite that far, because like if the Chiefs win, I would say like it's 85-90% that Mahomes wins that award. Whereas if the 49ers win, it's probably split between Purdy and McCaffrey. But like, the market should be much closer, to Ian's point, much closer with Purdy and McCaffrey than what we see there. And I agree with Ian that McCaffrey, like, the path there is very clear to see. And all we heard throughout a lot of the regular season was Purdy can't be MVP because McCaffrey is the most important offensive player on that team. Like, this is now the opportunity for voters basically to ratify what they were saying all season. And it would not surprise at all if McCaffrey is the first running back in 20 something years to end up being the Super Bowl MVP.
Friedman, my last question, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, Ian, because I've just been thinking about it. Because of how good, and specifically with the Chiefs defense, have you been looking at all at any Chiefs defenders for MVP with what we've seen, you know, Spagnuolo put out there in the last few playoff games? I mean, they've looked pretty tough. Has that even crossed your mind, Friedman, or not really?
It has crossed my mind, but I haven't done it. I haven't bet any of that, in part because it is so random in terms of, like, a guy has to get a couple of sacks. He has to get a pick six, something like that. And I think it would actually just be easier to think about what are the circumstances of a guy getting the MVP and then just betting that in an SGP at DraftKings, because I think you would actually end up getting better odds on that.
Okay. Well, Ian, I know that you're on your way to bet Butker MVP. So we'll just leave it at that, right?
I will say, Kendall, I like some of these Chiefs cornerbacks. Probably not to win MVP, because what are the odds? But I know Legarius Sneed has actually kind of been getting a lot of the hype recently. Had the hilarious, Tyreek, I guess, responding to the tweet about him just getting absolutely jammed down the ground in that wild card win. And then obviously had the crucial forced fumble on Zay Jones last week. But keep an eye on Trent McDuffie as well. I mean, first team all pro. And as Friedman said, you kind of need to be creating these turnovers in order to be in consideration. Well, maybe it's the cornerback with more forced fumbles or pressures this season than anyone else to play the position. So McDuffie and Sneed, if the Chiefs are going to go out there, shut down Purdy in this offense, need them to have some big days.
There we go. Well, we know that this is going to be an exciting game, Super Bowl 58. I'm excited to see who ends up being MVP. Listen up, football fans. This is the last weekend of the year to get your football bets in. We've teamed up with DraftKings, and right now is the perfect time to get in on the action. DraftKings is giving all new customers $200 in bonus bets instantly when they place their first $5 bet on anything. There's no time like the present. Download the DraftKings app now and sign up using promo code FANTASYLIFE. The crown is yours. That's right. New customers who bet just $5 will get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Wondering what you can use your $200 in bonus bets on? Combine multiple bets together from Super Bowl 58 for a shot at an even bigger payout. If you're already signed up for DraftKings, you can make a bet on Super Bowl 58 and get a bonus bet back instantly. Get a bonus bet in the amount of your initial wager. Max rewards varies. If sports betting is not yet available in your state, do not worry. You can still join in on all the fun with DraftKings Daily Fantasy and have a shot at winning cash prizes. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. New customers, use our promo code FANTASYLIFE and bet just $5 on any wager and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's promo code FANTASYLIFE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Just a reminder, getting you ready for Super Bowl 58, I have to point you in the direction of FantasyLife.com. Go and check out our bet tracker. Go and check out all of our free articles. But Friedman, I mean, the betting team, the bet tracker is loaded already. And so we're filming this on a Wednesday, and I'm saying that. So I just got to push everyone in that direction because you guys have a lot of great bets already in there.
Yeah, I'm trying not to look at the market because I said earlier at the top, it's just one game, but man, there are so many bets that you can make on the Super Bowl. So I imagine that even though it's Wednesdays we're recording this, we're still going to put a lot more of opportunities in the bet tracker. So check it out.
There you go. FantasyLife.com. While you're there, subscribe to our newsletter and subscribe to that Betting Life newsletter in your inbox 3 days a week. Let's get into some of our best bets. Friedman, want to start with yours with, of course, an under.
Of course. I do have an under. And I will say that the market for this game in terms of the side and the total, it's basically been locked into place for the past 10 days or so. But I do still like the under of 47.5 at -110 at DraftKings. I bet this at 48. I have this projected around 46.5. So I still see some value there. And, you know, we talked about it earlier in the show with these two defenses. They are run funnel type of units where they're pretty strong against the pass, pretty exploitable against the run. And so I think that means that we see both of these offenses lean more on the running game, which means the clock continues to run. It really slows the game down. And then even when we see Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy pass, I think they're going to be more of the short game variety, which means the clock continues to run and we see longer extended drives. And then when they don't have success, they're punting the ball and playing more of the field position game. But I think the 49ers, especially are going to be focused on the run game with Christian McCaffrey. And then the Chiefs offense, you know, they've underperformed expectations for much of the season, and they've certainly been better in the playoffs, but we saw them struggle in the second half in the AFC Championship game and really not get anything going there. And we saw them have success early in the playoffs, but that was against two really injured defenses. So I think the Chiefs offense is still going to kind of be on, I don't know, the underwhelming side of all of this, given what we've seen out of them to this point. So all of that points me to the under. And then the Chiefs have been the league's most extreme under team this year, especially in the second half. And I have a bet there, but man, they are, was it like 13-6 to the under this year? I think it's just a really exploitable angle. And then in the second half, they are 18-2 to the under, which is just kind of unreal. So I think whether you're looking at the under for the full game or you're looking at the under for the second half, I think looking at a failure of scoring in this game is probably the sharp side.
I think I remember you locked that in on, I think your early look ahead lines either was you or Matt LaMarca at 48. And it just, like you said, it really hasn't, it hasn't moved in the last few days.
Yeah, 48 was where I bet it right away. And yeah, I mean, it's just 47 is a key number in the NFL. You know, like you, it's not uncommon to see 24, 23 type of games. And so I think there's just a lot of market resistance at the 47.5. Because if it hits 47, then it could just go a little bit lower than that. So I think it probably stays at 47.5 all the way to kickoff.
All right. I like that one a lot. Let's go to your second best bet involving Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, you know, fading Patrick Mahomes is never something that anyone wants to do, but I'm going under 21.5 DraftKings points. And I like pointing this out because it is like an example of the type of prop that you see for the Super Bowl, where you know you don't often see fantasy point props. Just a ton of bets that people can make this game that just aren't available otherwise. And I think the DraftKings points prop falls into that. And you know, think about it. Books, they have a hard enough time like pricing normal player props, and this is obviously not a normal player prop. So I think this is a point where like a fantasy degenerate like all of us and the people listening to the show, like I think this is a place where they can have a true edge betting into this market. And you look at what Patrick Mahomes has done this year, and by the way, just shout out to DraftKings for posting this, because I love like this is a prop that again we never see, and like the fantasy player inside of me, I just absolutely love having an opportunity to bet this. But looking at what Patrick Mahomes has done this year in the regular season, 16 games, went over 21.5 DraftKings points just three times, averaged 19.3 DraftKings points per game in the regular season. And then in the postseason, 18.6, 18.5, 15.1 DraftKings points. Like Mahomes is certainly capable of hitting the over, but the way the Chiefs are running their offense just doesn't give Mahomes a lot of opportunities to hit the over. And man, he's done this since week seven, zero times. Like week seven was the last time that he hit the over. Like that was a world of time ago. And then that was against the Chargers. The Chargers, obviously one of the worst pass defenses in the league. That's not really the 49ers. The 49ers have actually been pretty decent against opposing quarterbacks this year. In their 18 real games, they've allowed quarterbacks to go over this number, over the 21.5, just five times. So it's a relatively tough matchup. As I said earlier, I lean towards the under, and I think that just means not many points, fantasy points for a number of the players in this game, including Patrick Mahomes. I bet this at -110. It's now at -140. Nice. I still like it at that number. I would bet it all the way probably to like -160. So Patrick Mahomes under 21.5 DraftKings points, I still think it's bettable.
I love that. Go lock that one in. So we've got two unders from Matthew Friedman for his best bets. Ian, I know you. You got an under, or are we rooting for something else here? What do you got for one of your best props?
As much as I do actually like Freeman's bets this week, that Mahomes one especially, 12 straight games under that. I mean, his previous career long before this stretch was 3 straight games without hitting that. So truly a different era there. But come on, guys, life's too short to be betting too many unders in the Super Bowl of all things. I'm taking Brock Purdy over 3.5 rush attempts as one of my favorite bets of the week. We're seeing the odds, you know, climbing up similar to what Freeman was talking about, but still can get this at plus 120 over at DraftKings. So Purdy, you know, let's face it, he can scoot. He's gritty, scrappy, sneaky athletic, you know, hard hat lunch pail type of guy. First guy in, last guy out. Whatever adjective you want to use to describe a slow-ish white quarterback, you can use for Purdy. And we've seen him, again, kind of step up in the playoffs when it comes to running the football. He's had 3, 4, 5, and 6 rush attempts in his 4 full postseason games, not including that Eagles NFC Championship when he got injured. So as we saw last week, again, he was able to make great usage of those attempts, but I'm just worried about that volume, which I think should once again be on the table against this man-heavy Chiefs defense. Looking at him this year, again, top 5 rate of man coverage, and accordingly, they've allowed the 5th highest scramble rate from opposing quarterbacks. Now, you know, using some of these other numbers is different. I understand Lamar Jackson runs the ball more often than Brock Purdy, but still, 12 of 20 quarterbacks to face the Chiefs this year have breezed past that number, 5.7 rush attempts per game on average overall. So again, we have Purdy, who on his own has increased his frequency, facing a defense that invites this sort of things when you have defenders turn their back to the football to go chase their receiver in man coverage. And guys, last game of the year, can't hold anything back now. So I'm just hoping, guys, again, I want to start this game with my stopwatch, betting the over on the national anthem, winning it. I want Purdy to be at 3 rush attempts and then get that last sweet victory formation kneel to cap things off at the end. Why not, Kendall?
Why not? That's what you said. Life's too short to be betting only unders on Super Bowl 58. So I absolutely love that one. I don't know, though. I mean, this same game parlay that I'm seeing from Friedman is pretty spicy. So for as much as we give him crap about the unders there, I don't know. You can, Friedman, tell us this one, because this is pretty good.
Yeah, well, shout out Ian. I do like that one, especially with the possibility of Purdy getting the victory formation kneel down. And 49ers favored, it would make sense that Purdy might get to kneel the ball. But I would say, you know, we talked about MVPs earlier, and instead of betting on Travis Kelce to win MVP, and you look at the MVP market right now at DraftKings, he's 12-1 to win MVP. Instead of doing that, I would rather look at the SGPs and think about, what does it take for Travis Kelce to win MVP? And maybe I can recreate that as an SGP and end up getting better odds. So if Travis Kelce ends up winning MVP, the Chiefs are going to win. Travis Kelce very likely to score a touchdown, almost necessary for him to score a touchdown, almost certainly would have to go over 100 yards. And then I would say Patrick Mahomes probably needs to have an underwhelming type of game. So we could bet the under of 261.5 passing yards for Patrick Mahomes. If you put all that together, you can get 32-1 odds at DraftKings. And so I would say, you know, for any guy that you're thinking about winning MVP, maybe create the scenario in your head in which he wins MVP, and then just check the SGP, go to DraftKings, create an SGP, and see what odds you get. Because I can see Travis Kelce winning MVP. If that happens, I would just rather bet on him having a really good game. And here's the thing. Kelce could hit all of these numbers. Like, this SGP could hit, and Kelce still might not win MVP. Like, we could have a game where Mahomes has like 250 yards and throws 4 touchdowns. Kelce has an awesome game. This SGP hits, but Kelce doesn't win Super Bowl MVP. So if you're bullish on a guy to win Super Bowl MVP, maybe look at the SGP instead.
You put a same game parlay together for the kickers as well, Friedman, or just Travis Kelce?
No, my degeneracy only goes so far.
Well, you let Ian know if you do that, but before Sunday, because you know that he'll tail that one, Ian.
Kendall, I was going to say, like, think about how ridiculously of a correlated parlay you could make for that Harrison Butker thing to hit. Just unders everywhere, you know, with crazy madness going on.
That would be crazy. I don't know, Friedman. I think I would
get it. I might do it. I might do it.
You have
like $1.
$1. The $1 version of it. Yeah.
$1, send it into the group chat and we'll just all tail it with you. So that'll be fun. All right. Let's get into our bet competition. So at the beginning of the playoffs, we put in, I think it had to be plus 150 or higher or better. And guys, we haven't really stuck by our own rules. So I'm just going to throw that out there. So if you see something that doesn't look right, just mind your business. We did it intentionally, but let's go through some reviews here. We're not good. I think that's just what we have to say here, guys. All of us are 1-5. Ian, you don't have your partner here today. So maybe that means that you get a couple wins this weekend and you go ahead of Friedman and I. What do you got?
Maybe not a coincidence my partner isn't here after that
losing. I wasn't going to say it.
I'm just kidding. But I got two good ones this week, everyone. Not touching that anytime touchdown market. I think, Friedman and Kendall will have us covered there. But first of all, mentioned kind of at the top of the show, but Isaiah Pacheco, really like his chances of having a nice workload this game. And his over 80 yards rushing prop at DraftKings, you can get plus 170 odds here. And, Friedman mentioned too, some of these just kind of lesser used prop markets, you can find some edges sometimes, because consider, again, plus 170 odds, pretty good. His rushing over under at 66.5 is forcing you to pay minus 120 juice to take the over on that one. So just 14 additional yards to, again, get a pretty nice leap there in your overall odds. So with Pacheco, again, facing a 49ers defense, we have seen allow 5 different running backs to hit that mark this season. And each of them did it on 18 or fewer carries. So Kendall, I believe you said, again, bottom 10 rush defense and more metrics than not. Pacheco has been on a roll lately, looking at these last 4 games. 68, 97, 89, and 130 rushing yards. Yes, I know he only got 68, particularly last week, but it came on 24 rush attempts. Not saying he's going to get that high again, but it just seems like the perfect marriage of a rush defense that isn't all that great combined with a running back that is getting force-fed the football. So, hey, I do like to check myself occasionally with the fine work that Matthew Friedman and Dwayne McFarland do with our fantasy life projections, and they have him projected for straight up over 80 rushing yards. So, love that one. And then also, guys, really a bit more of a long shot. Give me George Kittle under 23.5 receiving yards, plus 475 odds. And this one's moving down a little bit. I got it at plus 500 earlier in the week at DraftKings Sportsbook, but it's nothing against Kittle. Like, I think if we had an alien invasion Space Jam scenario, Earth had to name a tight end one, it might very well be George Kittle in terms of like who has the most all-around skills. But as we've seen, sometimes they don't need him to be a pass catcher. And on this season, accordingly, 8 different games with under 5 targets. And also, he just straight up didn't clear this receiving line in 4 separate contests on his own. So nothing against Kittle, but to me, really nice odds there for a guy who ultimately could just be asked to block more than he can catch. And as we know, Chiefs top 10 defense against tight ends as well.
Oh, I like that call out, Ian. That's a good one for the two. Like I said, you're 1-5 tied with Friedman and I. I do have Friedman here with me though. So Dwayne, we're thinking of you. You are also involved in this. So if you win, you win. If you lose, we're going to loop you into that as well. Friedman, I have to say though, because we didn't have a show last week, you under 131.5 scrimmage yards for Christian McCaffrey, and it came out to 132. We were so close. We were so close.
You live by the hook and you die by the hook, because the week before that it was like 128.5, and yes, he had 128. So, we got lucky that first week, didn't get so lucky the second week, but we roll on.
We're going back to Christian McCaffrey though. That's what we're going to say. We're 1-5. We also had Gus Edwards' first touchdown a couple weeks ago. That didn't pan out. But we got a Christian McCaffrey first touchdown, Friedman, that I really like.
Yeah, I think especially early in the game, as Ian mentioned earlier, the 49ers pretty likely to rely on Christian McCaffrey, and they've been really good in the scripted portion of the game. Christian McCaffrey, one of the best goal line backs in the league, led the league in touchdowns. If the 49ers get the ball, I think a pretty decent chance that they just, go the field and Christian McCaffrey ends up scoring a touchdown. So, it's almost impossible to find, real value in the touchdown market. But with Christian McCaffrey, I think he's just routinely been undervalued in the touchdown market this year, and getting him at plus odds here is a way of trying to leverage that.
No, I like that a lot. Locked that one already in. And then we kind of have a little same game parlay that gets us to plus odds here, but it involves Isaiah Pacheco.
Yeah, Pacheco at plus 208 with the same game parlay. I think Pacheco has a pretty decent game, as I mentioned earlier. So I like the idea of him scoring a touchdown. He's had 8 touchdowns in his 8 games since the week 10 bye, and then going over 66.5 rushing yards. If he scores a touchdown, if he has a big game, I think he has a pretty good chance of going over this number. And, putting those two together, combining them, getting that up to plus 208, I think represents some value.
There we go. Well, we're going to do better than 1-5, guys. We really have to. We can't go 1-7. We just can't. That'd be too embarrassing. So we're going to do better this weekend. But just as a reminder, fantasylife.com is where you can go and check out that free 100% free bet tracker where our betting team is putting in all of their bets for Super Bowl 58. So make sure you go and check that out. Our partners at Hugo Boss have launched an exciting collaboration with the NFL for Super Bowl 58. This limited edition offering celebrates the spirit and excitement of the upcoming Super Bowl with the unique blend of sophistication and athletic prowess expected from Boss. This limited edition line features jackets, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and hoodies in refined silver, white, and black hues celebrating Super Bowl 58. Stand out from the crowd with this limited edition capsule available exclusively on Boss.com, in Boss stores in Las Vegas, and at NFLShop.com. All right, to wrap up this Fantasy Life playoff show, of course we have to give our bold predictions one final time. Friedman, you know what? I looked back at the one that you did 2 weeks ago, and I kind of wanted to give you a win. I guess I have to ask Ian here, because then that would put you at 1-2 and we'd all be tied. But you did say that there would be some kind of Twitter back and forth, and I think it kind of happened with Dan Campbell. So I almost want to give you the win there.
It's not a win. I'm very happy taking look, because I said one of the games would go to overtime. That obviously did not happen. But I appreciate you trying to tilt the scale in my favor just a little bit.
I thought it was like a half. It's a half win. But looking at our rundown, it looks like a novel is written out for your bold prediction today. So what do you have?
By the way, there's no such thing as half wins. It's like a parlay. You know, one of the legs loses, it doesn't count.
But yeah. You've got zero wins, Friedman. There you go. You've got zero wins. Let's get it this time.
Just like Dwayne. All right. Got to take the shot at him while he's not here. All right. My bold prediction for the Super Bowl. I'm going to say that the Chiefs win a low-scoring game in which nothing memorable happens. There are no game-altering trick plays, no controversies about the refs calling a penalty, no controversies about coaches making questionable decisions. There's no halftime wardrobe malfunction, no all-time great performances from anyone. Like, the MVP performance is average relative to other MVP performances. Nothing big happens immediately after the game. Like, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, they don't say that they're retiring. Travis Kelce definitely does not propose to Taylor Swift. You know, I will just say, like, some of the Tom Brady Super Bowls, those were classics. Some of them were forgettable. Like, no one remembers what happens in half of the Tom Brady Super Bowls. Mahomes is going to end up being like one of the GOATs when it's all said and done. Like Tom Brady, he's going to have like at least 3 Super Bowls, probably 5. Some of those will end up being forgettable, run-of-the-mill Super Bowl victories. I think this is one of those games. The Chiefs win a game that no one remembers anything about 2 months from now.
Great. So Friedman's bold prediction is that the Chiefs win the most boring game that we'll ever watch. Friedman, come on.
And I will say, as an addendum to this, it would be memorable if Harrison Butker won MVP.
That's true.
But that's not going to happen.
I think we should, since Dwayne isn't here, I think as a punishment, we give him that as his bold prediction. That Butker wins MVP. I think we have to do that. Yeah. If we could put that in post-production and just make sure that graphic with like a photo of Dwayne is there so we can screenshot it, that would be phenomenal. But okay, Friedman, your bet is that a boring Super Bowl and the Chiefs win. I respect that.
It is the most Friedman prediction that could possibly be made.
It is. You saved the best for last, obviously. So I really respect that. Ian, what do you have? Do you have the 49ers winning the most boring game possible? Is that yours?
No, but sadly, I'm not going too much the other way. I got the Chiefs winning this one 20-10, but I do think there will be a defining storyline, and I think that's going to be that at least for 60 minutes of football, all the Brock Purdy hatred is going to come true. So, look, I was someone that didn't want Brock Purdy to be named freaking MVP of the NFL. I thought that and still think it's a reasonable sentiment to have, but anyone at this point that doesn't think he's a really freaking good NFL quarterback, I don't know what you've been watching, because a lot of this game manager stuff doesn't even reflect who Purdy is. Like, you would just think he's Jimmy G 2.0, not a guy that, as I mentioned before, can scoot and scramble. And last week, I mean, some of the off script he was stuff he was doing. Truly, it was fun out there. But as we've seen, been a bit of a rocky, you know, playoffs for Purdy. Hasn't had a chance to throw multiple touchdowns in a game yet. I mean, these first halves were rough, and now he's got to face maybe the toughest defense of them all. Chiefs remain the only team in the NFL that hasn't allowed 30 points in a single game this season. And right now, guys, only the 2002 Buccaneers, the 2000 Ravens, and the 2013 Seahawks have allowed fewer points per game during a single playoff stretch than what the Chiefs are doing right now. So unfortunately, if we see Purdy again start slow out of the gates, I'm not so sure that second half comeback is going to be coming again against arguably the best defense in the entire NFL. So I'm with Friedman in terms of nobody on the Chiefs exactly doing all that much, but let's face it, Purdy, that Packers game, two brutal dropped interceptions. Yeah. Last week, he had a bomb bounce off the Detroit Lions defender's helmet and somehow Ayuk catches it for a 50-yard game. I think some of these bounces finally don't go his way, and at least for a Monday, and you know, probably be weeks after that, all these Brock Purdy slanderers, they have some pretty good evidence on their side.
All right. I think that's a good one too. I will say you guys are both boring. Friedman, I think we change yours to Butker MVP. No, that'll be Dwayne's. That's fine. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to give you my bold prediction because I think, you know, mine is actually a little bit bolder than yours. I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey to score first. And then we're not going to stop there. We're going to go Travis Kelce to score second. And then the 49ers do win this game. And then again, we're not done. We have Christian McCaffrey as the MVP. So that is my bold prediction. I think it's just between Ian and I too, because Ian and I are the only ones with wins on the board here, Friedman, since you took yours off. I was going to give you one.
You know what? I'm going to say it's there's nothing bolder than betting on nothing to happen in a Super Bowl. I mean, how bold can yours be when it's like, oh, Christian McCaffrey scores a touchdown and Travis Kelce scores a touchdown and Christian McCaffrey wins MVP? Come on. It's not that bold.
It's fine. And then, of course, Dwayne is MVP is a kicker. So I don't know how much better we can get there.
Nothing is bolder than that.
True.
Can't wait till he sees this and he's like, wait, what? I just don't get it. I think we need a graphic made out of it. I think we have to go all the way. All right, guys. Well, we appreciate everyone hanging out with us today. Again, fantasylife.com. That is where you can go subscribe to our newsletter. Go subscribe to the Betting Life newsletter as well. And like we've been talking about all show, make sure you go and check out the Bet Tracker. Our betting team has done a phenomenal job. All of those in there 100% free. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl.